But now this morning, we are in our third week of a series entitled Personal Revival. And I truly hope that you're doing a self-reflection to see if you need a personal revival in your life. You know, so often we don't see our own need that exists. You know, much like physically, we need a mirror so that we can see the condition of our hair or our face. Spiritually, we often need help in seeing the condition of our souls. I mean, now sometimes others can be that mirror for us if we're willing to listen to them. A spouse, a friend, a coworker, a classmate, to name a few, can be a person to speak into your life to help you see issues that you have a hard time seeing on your own. Like in our office recently, our church staff here has been making fun of me because there's a phrase that I say all the time, and I didn't even realize that I did it, but they started to make fun of me. After a lot of things, we talk about something and somebody shares something, I'll say this. I'll say, well, there you go. Well, there you go. How many of you have heard me make that statement? Anybody here? Look at those hands go up. Oh, see? It's bad, isn't it? I didn't even recognize it until they pointed it out to me. But now that they pointed out, I realize I do it all the time. And it's driving me nuts, okay? I'm going to try to stop, but it's hard. But again, I would have never become aware of that had they not pointed it out to me. Now, as I think about that and I share that with you, here's what I know. That many times the issues that we have in our life are much more serious than a simple phrase that we repeat. Sometimes those problems can be substance abuse. Sometimes they can be problems of anger or problems of envy, problems of lust, problems of discontent, problems of apathy, just to name a few. But likewise, they can be just as hard for us to see on our own. We need help in that. Unfortunately, when those in our lives who care about us try to point them out, instead of being grateful, we often get defensive, and then we get mad. Isn't that kind of the natural course of life? Don't raise your hand, but I think if you're honest, that's how it truly is. This reality is one of the reasons why the Bible is so valuable to our lives. You see, as we read the Bible, God has a way of confronting us with our sin. And if you are a person who loves God, and God shows you something in His Word, this is what you know. You know that you cannot argue or get mad at God because He is perfect. He is a holy God. Therefore, when He confronts you, you know you have to listen. Now, over the past 2 weeks, we've looked at a problem that God pointed out to the church in Ephesus. A problem that many of us, as we heard that, realize that it is a problem that we too have. That we realize that we have left the love that we first had for God. Some of you realize that your faith has become stale, or some have realized that your faith with God has almost become non-existent, or you've almost completely walked away from God. Others may have just realized that you just need a little boost in your love for God. It's not bad, but you realize you need a boost. Or there may have been others who even realized that you don't even have a relationship with God at all. And so today, here's what I want us to do. I want us to move down the road just a little bit, a little further in our personal revival with God by looking at a topic that many of us might not like to consider. But it is one that is so necessary to a personal revival. And it is part of what God's word was to the church in Ephesus. And so briefly this morning, I want us to look back, Revelation chapter 2. This time, we're just going to look at verse 5. And as I read this verse to you again, it's going to be on the screen, or if you have it in your Bible in front of you, just listen and then see if you can see the one word that I want us to focus on this morning. Here's what God said. He said, "Remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." Anybody want to guess what the word is this morning? Repent. That's it, all right? That's the word we want to look at this morning. That word is used twice here in this one verse, but is actually a theme that is repeated throughout this section in Revelation as God gives messages to His churches. If we go on in Revelation 2, God said to the church in Pergamum in verse 16, "Therefore repent, if not I will come to you soon and war against them with the sword of my mouth." Then a few verses later in the letter to the church in Thyatira, as God is speaking out about a woman named Jezebel, we read where He says, "I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality." And that's not all. To the church in Sardis, God said this in Revelation 3:3, "Remember then what you received and heard, keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I come against you." See, it should be clear that repentance is something that God sees as important. But I want you to know we shouldn't see it in a negative light, because God says a few verses later in Revelation 3, as he's speaking to the church of Laodicea, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. You know, as I read that, I'm reminded that repentance is a part of a life that loves God. Those whom God loves will be confronted with their sin, because God doesn't want us to suffer from our sin. God also knows that sin destroys relationships. So a great truth that we need to get this morning is this, is that repentance is necessary for a healthy relationship with God, all right? Do you want a healthy relationship with God this morning? Well, repentance is a part of that healthy relationship with God. As I've been talking about repentance this morning, I assume that maybe this is a word that you're familiar with, but for some, it might be a new concept. I mean, whichever is the case, we need to understand this, that repentance is a good thing. Repentance is not something that we should dread or that we should have negative feelings about. Repentance is really something that we should embrace, and we should accept today that it is a gift from God. The Apostle Peter was addressing the crowd in Acts chapter 3, and he was sharing with that crowd about the truth of Jesus Christ and who he was. And he was trying to help this crowd understand who Jesus was. He spoke with them a message that the prophets had shared many years earlier. And here's the words that Peter shared with that crowd, where he says, "Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Christ appointed for you, this Jesus." You see, repentance is definitely seen here as a positive thing, because it is an instrument, Peter said, as the prophets had proclaimed, for our sins to be blotted out. It's an instrument for times of refreshing to come from the Lord, and even something that prepared the way for Jesus to come. Now, when I think about how this applies to my own life, I think how great it is to have the possibility of my sins to be blotted out. To me, I get excited about that. I get excited about the possibility that times of refreshing can come into my life, times of refreshing poured out from the Lord. And I get excited about this thought that Jesus can come into my life. That is truly an awesome thought for me, and I hope it would be for you. In fact, let me ask you today, do you like the thought this morning of your sins being blotted out? All right, do you like the thought this morning of times of refreshing from the Lord coming into your life? I mean, do you like the thought this morning of the possibility of Jesus coming into your life? If so, let me tell you, repentance is put forth as the door which opens all that to your life. In fact, I like the way one of my favorite preachers, James McDonald, put it when he said this. He said, "Repentance is the funnel through which all personal revival flows." I think that's a good way to put it. Repentance is the funnel through which all revival flows. Folks, this morning, if you need a personal revival, repentance must be a part. If you want to get back to love, then repentance must be a part. If you want a relationship with God to start, repentance must be a part. Therefore, let's consider this morning repentance a little deeper and see if we can understand the role that repentance plays in our life. To do this, we're going to consider four things that repentance involves this morning. And the first one being this, that repentance involves a conviction that something needs to change. Now, the word repent, as we read it in Revelation 2:5, is the Greek word metanoeo. Now, that doesn't mean much to you, but the Dictionary of Biblical Languages with Semantic Domains defines the word this way: to change one's life based on a complete change of attitude and thought concerning sin and righteousness. Catch that. A complete change of attitude and thought. That's very important to us today, because when I look at the root word of repentance in the scriptures, the Greek word, the root there is the word for mind, all right? It's in our mind, because here's what we have to get, that any change that takes place in our life first begins in our mind, okay? Where we get a conviction and an accepted thought about something in our life. Think about this for a moment. If you think that something is right, you're more apt to do it. Would you agree? All right? I mean, if you think in your life that something is wrong, you're less apt to do it, right? All right, agree? So the act of repentance begins with our thoughts. What is my attitude toward this? What are my thoughts toward this? What conviction do I have about this? See, for those that have areas of your life that need a revival or need changing, those changes will only take place after there is a conviction or a belief that something needs to change. For example, if you have a problem with drinking, if you don't see anything wrong with your drinking, then nothing is going to change. However, when a person gets a conviction where they think that their drinking is wrong, then the possibility of stopping becomes a greater reality. If you have a problem with spending or gambling, as long as you think everything is okay with your finances, then nothing will change. However, the moment you begin to think or get this conviction that something is wrong with your finances, then the possibility of financial change becomes a reality. If you have a problem with sexual promiscuity, as long as you do not see anything wrong with your sexual exploits, then nothing is going to change. But the moment that you become convinced that something is wrong, it opens the door to change to happen in your life. If you have a problem with eating, all right, your eating habits, as long as you don't see anything wrong with your eating habits, nothing's going to be different. But the moment that you are convinced that something is wrong, you open the possibility of change. Do you understand what I'm saying? I could go down a whole list today, but this is true. Again, this conviction, this change of mind is the beginning part of repentance. Now, as I say this, I want to make an observation. This is probably one of the more difficult parts. One of the hardest things to do with people is to help them see that what they are doing is wrong. Anybody agree with that? See, we shouldn't be surprised because this is what we're told in Jeremiah 17, 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Not just sick. It's desperately sick. Who can understand it? See, we all have these issues of recognizing our own problems, recognizing our own struggles. Do you realize today that preachers wouldn't be necessary if it was easy for you to recognize your own failures? I'd be out of a job. What would you need me for? Right? You wouldn't need me. Counselors wouldn't even be necessary if we had an easy time recognizing the root of our struggles. But folks, because the heart is deceitful, we need others to help point these things out in our lives. God, in fact, uses many people in our lives to help us. We just simply ignore those voices. Often we ignore the voices that God puts in our life because of this, because there are so many other voices around us telling us other things. In fact, here's what I know. In society often tells us that the things that are in our lives that God has revealed as wrong or harmful are really good for us. And you know what we do? We listen to those voices instead of God. We listen to the voice of society in which we live rather than listening to the voice of God who says, I've got a different way. Here's my prayer today for all of us is that if you have something in your life that is destroying your relationship with God and others, that today you would find a conviction, that today you would find a change of mind that would open the door for healing to occur in your life, that you would say, I understand change needs to happen. If you don't change, I want you to know this. There are serious consequences. Listen to what God says in Proverbs 1. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. In essence, here's what God is saying, all right? He's saying that if you refuse to listen and to change your way, there might be a time when God will simply let you suffer the consequences of your choices and not answer you when you call out for him to rescue you. Think about that. As any good parent knows, all right, hear me. As any good parent knows, there are times you have to look at your child and take your hands off. There are times you have to look at your child and say something like this, you've made your bed, now lie in it. Any good parent occasionally has to look and say, you've made your choice, now you reap the consequences. And I want you to know today, God is a perfect father. And because he loves us, there are times that he will look at us and say, if you are not going to listen to me, I will take my hands off and you can suffer for the choices you've made. So here is my prayer today. Is that some even this morning would begin down a path of repentance by gaining a conviction that something needs to change. Can I ask you here this morning this? Is that you today? Is there something in your life that needs to change? I would pray this morning that you would do a self-reflection and let God show you if there is something in your life that needs changing this morning. And if there is, that you would agree with God and change your mind about what you are doing. With that said, I want to look at the second thing that repentance involves. Because yes, you need a conviction that something needs to change, but there should also be a recognition that there is a better way. You know, one issue that so many struggle with when it comes to making a change is that they look at what they are doing as that's what's making them happy or fulfilled or bringing them contentment in life. All the time they have that belief, at the same time they're being miserable, unfulfilled, and discontent. You ever notice that? What they are failing to see is that there's something much better that God wants for them. Remember what we read back in Acts 3 a few moments ago? Let's look back at it again in case you don't remember. Acts 3:19. It says, repent therefore and turn again that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. See, when I read this, I hear God saying, here's what I have for you today. What I have for you is forgiveness. What I have for you today is joy. What I have for you today is peace. And if you want to think of it as happiness, fulfillment, and contentment, that's fine with me. But here's what I want you to see, that God is saying that I have something better for you. He wants to bring times of refreshing to our lives. Yet what we do today is we seek that in other things. We seek our contentment. We seek our fulfillment in other things. And God says, none of those things will fulfill you, but I have a better way. I'm going to go ahead and be honest with you today because I like to make confessions every now and then, you know. I will admit there have been times in my life that I have sought contentment in the wrong things. But whether those things have been material things or activities or achievements, I'm going to tell you none of those things brought what I was looking for because nothing other than God will bring you or me or anyone the peace and contentment we long for. You hear what I'm saying? And what God simply wants us to recognize is that he has something better. God does not want us to be miserable. Do you know that? God doesn't desire for us to be miserable. God wants what is best for us. In fact, didn't Jesus say this in John 10:10? The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you might have life and have it what? What kind of life? Abundant life. What does God want for us? What God offers to us through Jesus Christ is something that we will never find in anything this world has to offer. And I'm here to tell you that if you are looking for joy or peace or contentment or happiness, whatever term you want to put on it, you will not find it in any earthly wealth. You will never find it in an earthly relationship. You will never find it in any earthly achievement. You will only find it in a relationship with God. In fact, let me tell you how much God wants us to know that there is a better way. He is willing to do whatever it takes to bring us to a place where we recognize our need for him. Sometimes that even means he lets us suffer. Because let's be honest, it is often only in our brokenness when we recognize our need for God. Isn't that true? It's often only in our brokenness we recognize our need for God. For some people, that brokenness ends up with time served in prison. For others, that brokenness means a time in a rehab center. Then for others, it might mean broken relationships or bankruptcy or many other kinds of suffering. Some of them maybe not quite as severe as the one I've just mentioned. But all those things that God allows or maybe even causes at time are meant to point us to something better. That God's looking and saying, I have something better for you. Now here's what some of you might say this morning. Well, Brother Scott, I don't agree with that statement. I don't think God would be like that. However, in Hosea 6, God had a word for his people, Israel. This is the people that had continued to be rebellious toward God. They had aligned themselves with foreign countries opposed to God. They had mixed in the worship of Baal with their worship of him. They had become dependent on their military might. They had simply been unfaithful to God. I'm going to be honest and tell you, it sounds a lot like our country today. God was warning them of the coming tragedy if they continued to rebel. And this is what we read. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us up. Folks, if the Lord allows you to be torn, you can be assured that he wants to heal you. If he has struck you down, he can bind you up. And if God has allowed brokenness to come into your life, it is for the purpose of you understanding that there is a better way and that there is something better awaiting for you should you turn for him. Turn to him. In fact, listen to that verse. Hear the invitation in Hosea 6:1 again. It says, come, let us return to the Lord. Do you hear that? Come, let us return to the Lord. God is inviting us to return to him. Which reminds me of the next thing involved with repentance. You need a conviction that something needs to change. You need a recognition that there is a better way. But then there is needed a choice to be different. You see, in the different scriptures that we've looked at this morning, there's a call to repentance. The passage that I just read in Hosea gave an invitation. Come, let us return to the Lord. In Revelation 2:5, it said, repent and do the works you did at first. All these invitations to turn to the Lord are calls for us to recognize the wrong direction that we're going down and turn to the Lord and find a new path. But ultimately, it boils down to your choice. Your choice. It's not unlike going to a doctor, for example. Maybe you go to the doctor and the doctor looks back at you and says, I have a bit of bad news. You have cancer. But then that doctor follows that up with these words. But I got some good news for you. This is a curable cancer. Now, as we're going to cure this, here's what it's going to do. It's going to require us to do a little surgery. You're going to have a little radiation. And there's going to be some chemo. But the good news is this is a curable cancer. Now, here's my guess. When you heard the bad news, you'd be a little depressed. Would you not? You'd be a little overwhelmed. I have cancer. I have what? I mean, that would seek to overwhelm you in that moment. But I would assume after that, when the doctor came, I said, I got good news and it can be curable. You would say, oh, I'm happy. I'm glad this can be taken care of. Would you not? Would you not? But you know what the doctor needs from you? The doctor needs from you the right to do what he needs to do. You know what you can say to that doctor? You can say this to the doctor, doc, I don't think I want to have surgery. Doc, I don't want to do any of that radiation stuff. Heard too many bad stuff about it. Doc, I don't want to go through chemo. I think it's rough. So, doc, I think today I'll just choose to not let you do anything into my life. And you know what? If you tell that to the doctor, that doctor is powerless to help you. Is that not true? That's true, right? You see, you have to make the choice to let the doctor do his work in your life. And I know this morning, what I'm getting ready to say, there's somewhat of a difference. But in a similar way, the help that the Lord can give you is not much differently. Because to live different, to experience what he wants from you, is dependent upon you choosing to let him do his work. All right. It's dependent upon you saying, God, I will do my part. God, I will choose to be different. There's no greater example in this than what is found near the end of the book of Deuteronomy. The Hebrews had been delivered from bondage in Egypt, including the famous parting of the Red Sea. Most of you are familiar with that. They had suffered from a rebellion against God and had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. But they had made it to the edge of the promised land. And they were preparing to go in this land that God had promised them. And God was telling them what to expect when they went in this new land. He told them how obedience would bring blessing, but how disobedience would bring judgment. And as Moses finished sharing God's word with the people, here's what he said, Deuteronomy 30, beginning in verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you're entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you're going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. Do you catch it? There it is. Choose life. When it all boils down to many things in life, the question is this: what are you choosing? God's word tells us there's a right way to live and there's a wrong way to live. God tells us if you do certain things, you will find peace with God and joy. If you do other things, there are consequences to have, and it boils down to your choice. When Satan tempts you with an opportunity to do wrong, you choose to follow him or you choose to follow God. The choice that you make has huge ramifications, does it not? We in our society, here's what we've done. We've tried to help people avoid personal responsibility. Have y'all noticed that? Everything in our world today is an addiction or a disease, when many times they are simply poor choices. Are they not? We've just chosen the wrong thing. We are often faced with that choice of life or death, and we need to take the responsibility for the choices we make. You know, part of what I'm saying today is this. Some of you need a personal revival. And what that means is you need to repent because you recognize there are some things that need to change. You recognize that there is a better way, but you will only be successful in repenting when you choose to be different. If you don't choose to be different, then you won't change. You won't change at all. And many will simply blame God, and God's going to look back at you and say, I gave you a choice. Are y'all with me this morning? What I want you to know for some today is this. Here's what I want to know from you. Are you ready to choose to be different? If you do, I can promise you that the Lord will help you if you know him. All right? He's going to do that. Because I don't want you to get me wrong. All right? This isn't all about what you do. It's about you choosing to let the Lord work in your life. And when you choose to let the Lord work in your life, he will give you the strength to do what he's asked you to do. He promises you his Holy Spirit to help you and to guide you and direct you and strengthen you. Do you understand that? But if you will make that choice to follow him, I know he will help you. And I know that because of the last part of repenting that I want us to consider this morning, which is this: a continual reflection. A continual reflection meaning that you are constantly considering whether something needs to change. None of us here this morning are perfect. Can I get an amen? Amen. None of us. We all make mistakes daily. That is why continually we need to go before the Lord and see if something needs to be changed. And we can do this daily because of what Lamentations 3:22 states. And listen to this. I love this verse. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new. How often? Every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You like that verse? I love knowing that God's mercies are new every morning. And you know why I love knowing that his mercies are new every morning? You want to know why? Because I stand in need of those mercies every morning. Every morning. And so I need to go to God every day and ask, Lord, is there something in my life that needs to change? If so, God, I'm asking you today to change my mind about this. Help me to see that it is wrong. God, help me today to see that there is a better way. And God, help me to see the choice that I need to make to find the life that you are offering me. And I know if I will do that, God will pour his mercy down upon me. He will forgive me and he will help me live for him. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, recently I shared with you not too long ago a struggle I had in my heart. Y'all remember? Some of y'all remember this. I struggled how in my heart I had hatred towards someone. It was there. Yes, this preacher had hatred towards somebody. And I shared with you how God convicted me of that and how God showed me that that was not right. Not only was it not right, God convicted me that there was a better way. He showed me that forgiveness was better and seeking to make it right is what I should do. And so I was faced with a choice, life or death. Choose to do what God wanted me to do and find life or keep living the way that I wanted and find death in my soul that was being eaten away by the hatred that was in my heart. You all know that thankfully at that time, I chose life. I went to that individual and got things right. And I'm here to tell you, there is a blessing when you do what God asks you to do. Do you hear what I'm saying? And all I'm saying today is this. I daily need to go to the Lord and say, God, is there something that needs to change? I'm saying you daily need to go to the Lord and say, God, is there something that needs to change? And if so, reach out for his mercy and experience change. Let me ask again today, is there an area in your life that needs personal revival? If so, can I ask you today, are you willing to repent today? Has God convicted you that something needs to change in your life? Has he convinced you of that? If so, I hope as he's convinced you of that, you've recognized that he has a better way because God wants you to know, yes, there is a better way. And if you've recognized there is a better way, here's what I know God's also done. He's given you a choice, choosing life or choosing death. And in a moment, here's what's going to happen. We're going to have a time of invitation. And you know what you have the opportunity to do this morning? You have the opportunity to come and choose life. Some of you need to come to this altar being convinced and convicted that something's wrong and that there is a better way, and to come and sit at this altar and kneel before God and say, God, I understand that a change needs to take place, and I'm coming to kneel at this altar to say, God, I am ready to make a different choice. I'm ready to get up from here and be a different person. And so, God, I'm asking for you to pour your strength into my life to help me as I get up here and choose to be different, because God wants to pour his mercy on you this morning. Do you hear what I'm saying? This invitation is for many of you today. And let's not forget, as I say that, let's consider the choice that is the most important choice that we need to make today. The choice of, are you going to let Jesus Christ be your Lord and your Savior? Remember I shared a while ago, John 10:10, where Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Life only comes as you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. As you accept the fact that Jesus died for all of your sin. He died that you might be forgiven. He came and rose again to give you life so that you could have the opportunity to be different today. So that he could come and even pour his Holy Spirit into you should you choose to walk with him. And so what some of you need to do, even at this invitation, is come. Accepting Christ as your Savior, Lord. Finding forgiveness of sin. Inviting the Holy Spirit to take control of your life. So here's what I need to do this morning. I know it's probably time that I need to close. And so let me ask, very simply, do you need to repent today? Do you need to repent today? If so, why not come to this altar this morning and choose life? Will you pray with me? Father, as I bow to you in prayer, I'm not surprised that as I pause to pray that it's very quiet, much like it was in the first service. For Father, I know this topic of repentance is not one that we receive real well. Because, Father, we know in our life that there are things that need to be changed. And honestly, God, we would all probably say we don't like it when we're faced with that reality. But, Father, my prayer is as we come to this invitation that, Lord, indeed you would speak. That, Father, you would pour your Holy Spirit out upon this place. Father, you have convicted me to share this message today. You've allowed me, for some reason, to be your mouthpiece today. And so, Father, as I've shared your words, I pray now that those who need to hear today have heard. And, Father, now they're ready to respond. And so as we come to this invitation, Father, as the rain was pouring down earlier today, Lord, my prayer would be right now that you would pour your Spirit down upon this place, that, Father, it would flood into hearts and lives today, and that, Father, you would bring repentance to this place. Because, oh, Father, I know there are some here today that need a better way, And you've provided it, God. And you're wanting them just to choose that better way today. And so, Lord, would you move in hearts, move in lives today, God. And if you speak, Lord, I pray folks truly will respond to you. And as I pray these things, I pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.